David, and thank all of you for joining together this morning and these wonderful hymns of praise to our Father. Adam didn't tell you that on that phone, I don't text with that little deal where you go through and punch all the letters. I have that little thing where you can just push one little button and speak into it, and it just kind of spells it out. It's much, much easier that way, especially when you have difficulty seeing. You know, it's amazing about that thing, Adam. It really, really is. Because the other day I was going to send you a text, and I pushed that thing, and I said, called Adam. And it said, we can't find Adam in your contacts. You know, I thought what would really be bad, though, is to push that button and call God and them say, we can't find God in your contacts. You know, it would be a horrible thing not to be able to call upon God or to have God as a contact. What a tragedy. There are many people that go through life without being connected to God. I hope you are this morning, and I hope that if you're not, before you leave this building today, you will be. You know, of all the great blessings that God gives unto us, forgiveness certainly is one of them, but hope is another. Where would we be without hope? Have you ever been in the hospital room of someone and the doctor come out and say, there is no hope? Or perhaps maybe someone is lost. You cannot find them, and they have searched and searched for days and even months, and finally the authorities say, we're going to call off our search, for all hope is gone. There is no hope. Perhaps maybe that was the thought of some who had loved ones in that theater in Aurora, Colorado, this last week. What hope do you have this morning? What hope do you really have? You know, when you think about that Colorado massacre and all the problems that were associated with it and all the terrorist attacks that take place around our world, we are reminded that the demonic spirits of this world are very much alive. And you know, when we look at people who carry out such terroristic acts, we stand amazed. And a lot of people today would have you believe that this young man, or perhaps maybe others like him, were just sick. And I've listened to all the theories. I've heard the pundits speak on television over the last few days. And some have said this young man just had a deranged mind. He had a sick mind. I think this young man was filled with anger. Maybe he was angry at himself. Maybe he was angry at someone else. But what could change a young man by the name of James Holmes into a mass murderer? Could it be sin? I mentioned to our Bible class this morning, Dr. Carl Menninger, a number of years ago, wrote a book entitled, Whatever Happened to Sin? A lot of people in our world today would have us believe that we're just living in a sick society, that everybody is sick, and anybody that ever carries out a terroristic act or an act of mass murder is just simply sick. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that the devil is still alive, and the devil is still welcome in the lives and the hearts of a lot of folks. And there are a lot of people who choose to do evil. When I see people like these who mourn the passing of their loved one, and when I see all of those people who were massacred in that theater, I'm reminded that the devil is very much alive. Vigil after vigil has been held and no doubt will continue to be held for those who died or for those who were wounded. What a tragic thing. It is a sad day in America. It is. And I hope and I appreciate Kyle remembering those people up in Colorado in prayer this morning, because they need our love and our compassion and our prayers. Isn't it hard to believe that we live in an America today where people consider life so cheaply? But for those of us who fail to remember, I would remind you that there is still hope. There is hope. There's a worldly definition for the word hope, and oddly enough, it might just be totally different from the biblical or spiritual definition of hope. The worldly definition is to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. That's what we call hope. Or to believe, to desire, or to trust. I hope that my work will be satisfactory, some people say. What kind of hope? It is a hope that arouses and a hope that nothing else can arouse. A passion for the possible. We want to believe the words of Christ who said that with me all things are possible, or with God all things are possible, but they're not always possible with man. Well, let's look at another definition of hope. Let's look at a spiritual or scriptural definition. Thayer defines hope in this way. He said it is the expectation of good. It is the joyful and confident expectation of life eternal. If I could ask you this morning, what is your hope? What is your hope all about this morning? Is your hope about having a greater life here, or is your hope going to heaven? I'm going to tell you this morning that my greatest hope does not rest in this life. It rests in heaven. And Paul said, if in this life we only have hope, we are of all men most miserable. And it is true. W. Vine, in his expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, defines the word hope in this way. He said it is a favorable and confident expectation, and based upon the words of Paul in the book of Romans 8, verse 24 and verse 25, Paul says it this way, and I'm reading from the easy-to-read version here because I want you to really grasp it, and I think it really spells it out and says it well. For we were saved to have this hope. If we can see what we are waiting for, then that is not really hope. People don't hope for something they already have or possess, but we are hoping for something we do not have yet, and we are waiting for it patiently, he says. That kind of hope describes the happy anticipation of good, based upon Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 and 1 Peter 1 and verse 21. What kind of hope? Paul in Galatians 5 and verse 5 says, for through the Spirit we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Worldly hope is a number of things, and it's totally different, as I said. It's hoping for a desirable outcome. If you listen to people talk today, in just simple language, they talk that way. Well, it's hoping for a desirable outcome, maybe winning a game. I hear people say, well, I hope we win. We talk about the Olympics. I hope America wins. Many gold medals. Or maybe it might be investing in risky stocks. And we say, well, I hope I'll make a lot of money. Or gambling. Or picking the winning lotto ticket, as some say. That's not the hope of the Bible. The hope of the world is wishing for something or for someone. Hoping for a relationship with someone. Or hoping for a job. I hear people say that all the time. I hope I can get that job. Or maybe hoping for a lifestyle that is flamboyant. Or the last hope, we say, is medical treatment for a terminal illness. We keep hoping for a cure for cancer. And I'm telling you this morning, there is a cure for sin, which is far better. What kind of hope? Well, it's a hope that Paul alludes to in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. When he says that there is one body and one spirit, as you are called, in one hope of your calling. What kind of hope? Listen to it again. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. The Christian hope does several things. Did you know that faith actually produces hope? You know what? My hope is in God today because of my faith in God. My hope is not a shallow hope. It is my hope is not founded upon what happens in this world, whether it's good or whether it's bad. I know that my hope is anchored to Christ. It is according to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, it is the anchor of the soul. It is a realistic hope. And that faith produces hope. And love is the outgrowth of your hope. Because you hope, you love God and you love one another. And hope is our motivation for good in this life. Every day I stay motivated. I stay motivated because I have hope in God. And my faith is strong. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and also verse 13 and 21, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according," it says, "to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." It is not a dead hope, but a living hope, he says, "through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Why do I hope someday for a resurrection? I hope someday for resurrection because Christ was raised from the dead. Last Friday, I preached a memorial service up in Gilmer, Texas, for a lady that I had known for a long, long time. Dorothy Cowan lived to be 98 years of age. I don't know of anyone who loved the church and loved God any more than this woman. She was the mother of one of our television preachers, Perry Cowan. But she was a devoted servant of God, and she lived in hope of someday going to heaven because she had that hope that was real and sure, and a hope that was founded not upon this world but upon Christ. What is the Christian hope? You see, that kind of hope distinguishes the Christian from the unbeliever. Well, the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, Paul says and wrote to the Thessalonians that they should sorrow not as others which have no hope. I'm going to tell you something. I have been at memorial services, or I have spoken at funerals for a lot of folks. I have spoken for those who died in Christ, like this dear lady did in Gilmer. And her family stood around, and many of them wept, but their sorrow was not because she didn't have hope. Their sorrow was because they were separated from this woman of hope. But I've also been with people whose loved ones were not children of God. They were not Christians, and their family grieved immensely because they were lost and because they were separated from God and because their hope was only in this world and nothing else was left. Nothing. For a Christian, hope is a product of faith. The stronger your faith, the stronger your hope becomes. You want to have a strong hope? Develop a strong faith. And the Bible in the book of Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. What kind of hope? Hope is not a dream, but it is a way of making your dreams become reality. I've heard people say sometimes, the people that had hope, well, you're just dreaming. No. My hope is a way of making my dreams become real. I don't know how many of these people that died in that theater were Christians. For some reason, we get the feeling that anybody that died the martyr death is going to heaven. Not so. We get the feeling sometimes if somebody becomes the victim of a bullet wound inflicted by some terrorist or someone else, that they immediately go to heaven. Not so. For if they didn't have a relationship with God and they were not Christians, they had no hope. That's not a message that came from this preacher. It is a message that came from his God. That's why it's so important for us to make sure that every day we live in view of our death. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth. I don't either. I don't know what this day will bring forth. I'm quite sure when those folks got up that morning, they had breakfast with their loved ones and they talked about aspirations. They talked about what they were going to do. They were excited about going to the premiere of the movie. And they all gathered that night. They were so excited. And all of a sudden, gunshots are heard. And the blood begins to flow. And the wounded lay in the aisle and in their seat. Little did they think or know that they would never walk out of that theater alive. There's only one thing worse. That's not leaving this world alive in a relationship with Christ. The basis for our hope is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. We hope because God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 and Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. For Paul says, we live in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, he says, promised before the world began. For Hebrews 6 and verse 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. We have hope because Christ was raised from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15. He is the first fruits of them that were raised from the dead, the Bible says, the basis for our hope. We have hope because of the assurance offered by the witnesses of the resurrection of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8. And he was literally seen of hundreds. Colossians 1 and verse 5. And these witnesses repeatedly spoke of the hope which is laid up for us in heaven. He says, of which you heard before the word of truth of the gospel. What kind of hope? Well, John says in 1 John 3 and verse 3, he says, and everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. If you really have hope, you purify yourself, you get yourself right with God, so your hope will become reality. What's the result of hope? Now, I know maybe to some this might sound a little bit strange. But, you know, hope protects us. For in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, the Bible speaks of the helmet of hope. Hope protects us. That doesn't mean it's going to shield us from the assassin's bullet, always. Sometimes it does. But it protects us nonetheless. For when we die, it's not over. We've just made a genesis, a new beginning. We go to be with God as a Christian. And it is this hope that purifies us, according to 1 John 3 and verse 3. It is the hope that stabilizes us. There's so many people in this world that are unstable. I don't know about this man's relationship with God. Obviously, he had none. A man who could vengefully take the life of others and wound other people. Didn't have much of a relationship with God. He may have had it in name only. Jesus says, you know them by the fruit that they bear. That's what Christ said. But real hope is that anchor of the soul. It keeps us close to God. You see, the Christian's hope is a number of things. And it is true for me, and I hope it is true for you. For the Christian, hope is Christ, first of all. That he came into the world, he died for us, that we might go to heaven. But for the Christian, hope is not only Jesus, but his resurrection. It is his righteousness. It is our salvation. It is eternal life. It is the anchor of the soul, as I said, and it is a purifier. You know, there's an old song that we sing. It's one of my favorites because it speaks about what we're talking about here this morning. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And it says, when all of my around my soul gives way, when all around my soul gives way, he is then my all and my stay. And lest we forget that, I've asked David to lead us in a couple of verses of that hymn before we continue the lesson. David.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
How true it is. Everything but Christ is sinking sand. The world has no hope. No hope for those that are out of Christ. Not according to Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about those who were at one time separated from God and without hope. 1 John chapter 2. verse 15 through 17, where there is no hope, there is emotional fear, spiritual pain, and eternal sorrow and death. Hebrews chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 15. But one final thought this morning. One final thought about hope. The world, the Christian, lives and dies in hope. He does. That's why it is so unique to the Christian faith. Many religions do not believe in life beyond the grave. Many believe that when we bring someone into an edifice and we say words over them and we offer encouragement to the family, that you take them out and bury them and it's as if you never ever existed. But the thing that is so unique about the Christian faith is the fact that we believe that when you take that body out to its grave, that someday it will come forth. And Jesus, in the 5th chapter of the book of John, verse 28 and 29, said, "All that are in their graves will hear his voice and will come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." The Christian lives and he dies in hope. But the world lives and dies in hopelessness. That's why it's so important for us to choose to have hope. For without Christ, in the book of John, the 14th chapter and verse 6, there is no hope. None. And that behooves us to encourage family members. It behooves us to encourage friends. Why, I heard some of the people who came out of that theater the other night who were saying, "I just need to get close to God." Sometimes it takes a great tragedy to awaken us, even as a nation, and even as an individual, to what really is important in life. Without Christ, there's no hope. But Jesus came to give us hope. And that hope belongs to those who are Christians. Someday, according to Revelation 1 and verse 7, he is coming again, and the Bible says that every eye shall see him. You will see him in his grandeur and in his glory. You may not have been privileged to see Jesus in this world, but someday you will see him. For people who say about the Christian faith, "I just can't see it." Well, let me tell you something. God will awaken you someday and you will see it. You will no longer be like the scribes and the Pharisees of whom Jesus said, "Seeing they see not." We would have wanted to be like David in the Old Testament who said, "Open my eyes that I might see." Well, how can I have hope in Christ? Do you know God has a plan for us, and it was developed by him a long time ago, that enables us to have this hope that I've been talking about here this morning. It's founded upon Jesus, but it's founded upon his will. And it involves you, oddly enough. And it involves me. What must I do to be saved? You see, that question's so important. Because until we are saved, we have no hope. So we first have to answer that question. What must I do to be saved that I might have hope? You hear the Word of God, first of all. Anyone who is not willing to listen to the Word of God or read it is lost. But then you must believe it. We got a lot of shallow believers in our world. We got a lot of people that turn on to God when tragedy occurs, momentarily. And after a period of time, that abates. But you must believe it. And you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Now that's true, because I'm going to tell you, someday in heaven, the Bible says that Christ is going to confess me as His child, and He will confess you if you're a Christian as His child. And if we are not His children, He will not know us in heaven. For Jesus in Matthew 10 and verse 32 said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. I will own you. I will be your defense attorney before God. And I won't know other." And then you must repent of your sin. And that doesn't mean to just feel sorry or shed tears about your sin. It means that you are to change your behavior. You have no hope without change. And let me tell you something, that is change that God wants you to believe in. Jesus said, "I tell you, if you don't repent, you will all perish." Luke 13, verse 3, verse 5. And then a person must be baptized for the remission of his sin. Thank God for people who have been immersed, who have been baptized. The world doesn't understand that. They don't understand a lot of things, what we're doing. But I'm telling you, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Makes me no difference whether they grasp it, whether they understand it or not. I understand it, and as long as I understand the will of God, I'm going to obey the will of God. And Jesus taught, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Baptism doesn't come short of salvation. A person must be baptized, and then he must attain salvation. It comes in that way, and that's the way it happens. If a man has hope, he's heard the word of God, he believes it, he confesses his faith in Christ, he repents of his sins, and he is baptized for the remission of his sin. And then salvation comes. And when that salvation comes, then your hope is real. You're not hoping against hope. But your hope is real. And it really does become the anchor of the soul. For when one is baptized and he develops that hope, he lives faithful unto God. Faithful to Him. It doesn't make any difference if one hears, believes, confesses, repents, and is baptized, and then disregards God the rest of his life. Your hope is no good. You have no anchor of the soul. Only as long as you are faithful to God and to His church, to His kingdom. And believe it or not, God reached out to us 2,000 years ago and He's still reaching out. He's reaching out to you. He is. He's reaching out to give you hope. Whether you want it or not, He's reaching out to give you hope. And I'm asking you this morning, will you take your hand, and will you place it in the hand of God? And reach out for the hope that He offers us. It is a hope, as that song says, "When all around my soul gives way, He is then my hope and my stay." So whatever happens in this world is nothing if you have hope in Christ. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, I hate to say this, but I will tell you just as kindly as I possibly can, and just as forthrightly as the Word of God teaches, you're lost. And if someone were to shoot you with the assailant's bullet, or you were to be killed in an automobile accident on your way home, or you were to die of a heart attack today, or in some form of one of another, you would draw your last breath, you'd be lost. Someday you will breathe your last. And pray God that when you do, it will be in hope. It will be in hope. And if it's not this morning, right now, that hope that you're holding on to, then you have the power to change that. It is true, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But we know the one who holds tomorrow, and that's Jesus. And if you believe that with all of your heart this morning, and you're not a Christian, why would you linger? Why would you wait for something to happen and snuff out your life and the family be left to grieve because there's no hope? The future for you rests in your hands. Would you come to Jesus this morning while we stand and while we sing?